This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today is the eighth sermon in my sermon series, God's Big Picture. In the first sermon, we learned how God is the creator of all things and that we humans are unique. We're unique because we alone were created in God's image. We alone were created to be stewards of the earth as God's representatives in creation. We alone were created to have an eternal love relationship with God. In the second sermon, we learned about the specific details regarding God's creation of Adam and Eve, including God's gift of marriage. In the third sermon, we learned about the origin of evil, sin, and death. We learned how the devil, a rebellious angel, tempted Adam and Eve to reject God as he had done, and how this rebellion brought sin and death into the world. But in the third sermon, we also learned how God made a promise of a Savior immediately after Adam and Eve had rejected him. That's right, God made a promise of a Savior for sinners, a Savior who would renew God's creation and bring us back into a love relationship with God. In the fourth sermon, we learned about the first murder. We learned how Cain, an unbeliever, killed his brother Abel, who trusted in God. But we also learned how Abel's blood shed by Cain was a picture of the blood of God's Son shed for us, by which we can be forgiven of all sin and reconciled to God. In the fifth sermon, we learned about the sons of God, that is, men who believed in God, but then sadly rebelled against God by marrying daughters of men, that is, women who rejected God. And you remember what happened. These unbelieving women led their husbands to reject the Lord as well. And as a result, no surprise, they raised their children as unbelievers, some of whom were later called the Nephilim, evil men who were admired by unbelievers but were despised by God. In the sixth sermon, we learned about the flood that God brought upon the whole world after he gave the people of that time 120 years to repent. We also learned how God saved eight believers, Noah and his family, by keeping them safe on the ark that God had them build. We also learned how that ark pointed ahead to Jesus, who is our ark of salvation from the judgment that sin deserves. In last week's sermon, which was the seventh sermon in this series, we learned how several generations after the flood, the world was once again filled with unbelievers who refused to trust in God and refused to obey his command to spread out over the whole world. Instead, they all spoke one language and they congregated in one place and built a tower known as the Tower of Babel, as a sign to God that they were great and that they didn't need him. But if you recall, God humbled them by breaking up their sinful union against him. He divided them by causing them to speak different languages and then forced them to obey his command to spread out over the whole world. And remember, God did this because he loved them. He did this in the hope that they would repent and seek his mercy through the promised Savior. But sadly, they didn't. They did not repent. They did not seek God. Nevertheless, God continued to reach out to them. He did not give up on this world. And that brings us to today's sermon. Several generations after the Tower of Babel, the Holy Spirit gets through to a man named Abram. God moves Abram to repent of his sin and trust in the Savior that God promised for sinners. And then, as we heard from Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abram and his family to leave their home. a land that was filled with unbelievers who worshiped false gods. Instead, Abram and his family were to leave their home and follow God's lead as he guided them to a new home. In addition, God told Abram that his descendants would become a great nation. But even more, God told Abram that one of his descendants would be a blessing to all nations of the world. In other words, the Savior of sinners that God promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, that Savior would come through Abraham's family line. Now, as we continue to journey through the Old Testament history during this sermon series, we will see how God's promise to Abram will become clearer and clearer as we move closer and closer to the time in history when God's promise to Abram will be fulfilled in the birth of God's son to the Virgin Mary, who, by the way, was a descendant of Abram. However, when God told Abram that one of his descendants would be the Savior of the nations, you need to know that at the time, Abraham was 75 years old. His wife was not much younger, and they did not have any children. So if one of Abram's descendants is going to be the Savior, then obviously Abram needs to have a son, right? But the years go by. And before you know it, Abram is pushing 100, and he still doesn't have a son. This takes us to Genesis chapter 15. Abram believes that he and his wife are now way too old to have children, so he simply assumes that he's going to have to adopt one of his servants, and that one of his adopted servants will then be the ancestor of the promised Savior. But remember how God responds? He says, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." How did Abram respond to these words from God? Genesis 15, verse 6 reads, "Abram believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness." Simply put, the Holy Spirit moved Abram to trust God's promise that he would give him a son from his own body, even though this seemed absolutely impossible from a worldly point of view because he and his wife were so terribly old. My friends, Abram trusted that nothing is impossible with God. In fact, Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 4. Listen to what he says. "Without weakening in his faith, Abram faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." Did you hear that? Paul is saying that we are righteous before God, not because we're sinless, or not because we've somehow earned God's favor by our works. No. We are righteous before God when the Holy Spirit moves us to trust God's promise to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. So not only did Abram trust that God could give him a son, even though it was impossible from a human point of view, but even more, Abram trusted God when he said that the Savior of all sinners would come through one of his own descendants. Abram trusted in the Savior that would be one of his own descendants, even though this Savior was also Abram's creator. You heard me right. Even though one of Abraham's descendants would be the Savior of all nations, Abraham also knew that one of his descendants, the Savior, was also his creator. How can that be? Well, in Genesis 3:15, God said that the woman's offspring, a male child, would crush the devil and provide salvation for sinners. Remember that first sermon? This male child would have to be God himself, because only God has the power to crush the devil. Only God has the power to save sinners. In our reading from the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus was trying to get the unbelieving Jews of his day to trust in him as the actual Savior that God had promised for all people. Remember what Jesus said to them? He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." But how did they respond? They said, "You're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham," mockingly. But then Jesus responded with these awesome words, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am." My friends, when Jesus said that he is the I Am, he was claiming to be the God of Abram, who later spoke to Moses from the burning bush and revealed his name to him. Remember what God said to Moses? Moses said, "God, when I go to Egypt and they ask me, what is your God's name? What should I tell them?" And God said, "I am that I am." So Abram believed God. And as a result, Abram was righteous before God through his faith in the promised Savior, God's Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. And just as Abram was righteous before God through faith in God's Son, you and I are righteous before God when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and moves us to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In fact, Paul wrote about this in our reading from Galatians. Listen to this again. "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Today is October 30th, and as I said earlier, many Lutheran congregations throughout the world are celebrating the Reformation today. In fact, next year is going to be an awesome year for Lutherans. Next year, 2017, will be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. That's right, on October 31st of 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. Now, those 95 theses challenged various false teachings in the church of Luther's day. But the primary false teaching was the idea that we become righteous before God by doing enough good works and making ourselves worthy of God's love and salvation. But in contrast, based on his study of Scripture, Luther stressed that we are saved through the work of God's Son alone. Now please understand, Luther was not excusing sin, nor was Luther saying that good works are not important. Instead, Luther was stressing that turning from sin and doing good works is not what saves you. Only God's Son can save you. And once he has saved you, then it's natural to turn from sin and joyfully do the good that God wants us to do. Simply put, once God has used his word to expose your sin and convince you that your sin deserves his wrath, once God has used his word to give you faith in Jesus who died for your sin that you might be forgiven and righteous before God, once God's Spirit has worked through his word to give you a new heart of repentance and faith, you will then begin to have the desire to turn from sin and live according to God's loving plan for your life because you now love God and trust God. In other words, we don't turn from sin in order to earn God's forgiveness. We turn from sin because we're already forgiven through faith in Christ. And we agree with God that sin is bad, so we want to resist it. In the same way, we don't strive to do good works in order to earn God's forgiveness. Instead, we strive to do good works because we're already forgiven through faith in Christ. And His love in our lives moves us to love and serve others. Next week, we're going to hear how God keeps His promise to Abram. God gives him a son named Isaac, who will be the ancestor of the promised Savior. That's right, another link in the chain leading to Jesus. But for now, the whole point of today's sermon is that just as Abram was righteous before God through faith in God's Son, you are righteous before God through faith in God's Son. Jesus said that Abraham looked into the future with faith, knowing that his Savior would be one of his descendants. What about us? God moves us to look into the past through faith in God's Word and believe that God kept His promise to send a Savior. In the same way, God moves us to look to the present, to holy baptism, to the preaching and teaching of His Word, to the Holy Supper of our Lord. God moves us to believe that He is with us here and now through these gifts, giving us His mercy and love and power to live a new life. God also moves us to look to the future, like Abraham did. God moves us to look to the future with faith in God's Word and believe that His resurrected Son will return for us one day. God's Son will then resurrect our bodies and give us eternal life with Him in the new creation, a life that will never end. But until then, like Abram, we live by faith. Faith in God's promises. We can come to God every day with our guilt and shame because of our many sins, and we can know that we are forgiven and righteous before God because Jesus died in our place of damnation and conquered death for us. And this good news will give us the desire and the strength to fight against sin and to live according to God's loving plan for our lives, just like Abram. In closing, God told Abram that he would be the father of a great nation and that his offspring would be very numerous. But you need to know, God was not referring merely to Abraham's physical descendants, because sadly, many of Abram's physical descendants rejected their Savior, as we heard in our gospel reading for today. So, when God told Abraham that his descendants would be very numerous, God was referring to any person who trusts in Jesus just as Abram did. In other words, you who trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are part of that great nation that God promised to Abraham. You who trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are Abram's offspring. As Paul writes at the very end of Galatians chapter 3, listen to this good news. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Now may the peace of God